Somebody on Bible reading today, by any chance? Alex Chalmers, sorry.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to read Hebrews 4 today, and we're going to read verses 1 to 13. Please join with me from verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Thanks, Alex. Hi, everyone. I'm Jason, if we haven't met. It's good to be here with you, Savo. We're finishing our little series in Hebrews today. We're only going up to the end of the section that Alex just read to us, because that's kind of a conclusion to an argument that started in chapter 1, verse 1. So this is it kind of goes to the end of the book, really, and we'll pick that up next year. But this ends a little section in this letter. Big thanks to the people who came over to the second service meeting for St Andrew's in the city. It was really encouraging. A massive thank you to those of you with kids who are doubling up. Good luck with that later on tonight. It's been really refreshing and encouraging to see so many people interested in helping get a second church service starting there in the city, where the Bible's taught and the gospel's preached and young families are welcome. So yeah, keep praying for St Andrew's Presby as they try and work out how best to reach the city, and pray generally for Townsville, that we might be able to reach people for Christ. That was a long introduction, I'm sorry, but we'll pray and then we'll look at this part of God's word. Heavenly Father, thanks for the scriptures. Thank you that you speak to us in them. Thank you that they're living and active. They're not dead history, but right now you're speaking to us. And we pray, Lord, you'd give us ears to hear. And now by your Spirit, Lord, we pray you'd talk to us and change our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was super smashed on Wednesday, Arvo. Not drunk smashed, but just really tired. One of the kids had been crook the night before and in and out of our room, which, you sort of think you grow out of, but you don't. As parents, that's always a possibility. I was already a bit anxious going to sleep that night, just thinking about stuff. I had a terrible night's sleep. I get anxious sometimes, and so I don't really need a good reason to worry. I can just have all these irrational worries going around in my mind. It's been an intense few months for our family. We've had, a few things going on, and I just wanted to curl up on Wednesday afternoon in the fetal position and regulate my breathing and rock myself to sleep. I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but I couldn't do that because I had stuff to do. It's not a good look in a group setting to do that. I wasn't made for toil, to be totally honest. I wasn't made for toil. I wasn't made to be broken. I've been speaking to a number of people lately who feel they've been busier than ever, like life's been closing in on them, and they've been fighting off the busyness of life, but they feel like they can't fight for much longer. Speaking to one young bloke, he's got a young family, goes to a different service on Wednesday arvo, and he said to me, I asked my dad, Dad, has it always been this busy? Was it this busy for you when you were a kid? And he said, no, it wasn't. No, you guys, it just never stops. Like, you've got these phones now, you run a business, you're just on call 24/7. And I could see just the tension in his life. You can't just stop all your responsibilities and walk away from them. It's hard to live in a world where things aren't perfect when God fundamentally wired us to experience perfection. That's what we're wired for. We're wired for nothing short of perfection. It's hard to live in bodies that grumble and groan when God made us to experience perfect life. Like, he didn't make us to endure grief. He didn't make us to experience broken bones and depression and anxiety and poor hips that struggle to get out of bed. We weren't, like, all that stuff's foreign to us. It cuts against us. It's like a fish trying to fly or something, us experiencing those things. It's completely out of character for what we were made for by God. And God didn't make us for toil. He made us to work the garden and take care of it, it says in Genesis. But the kind of work that is pictured in the garden is actually equated with rest. Toil, having a bad day at work, being tired, getting anxious about meetings, all that stuff is not what we were made for. We were made for rest. As we finish up this section in Hebrews today, the author's reminding us that there remains a rest for the people of God. And it's not just like a temporary rest. It's not just a rest that's kind of like the rest you probably had over the weekend. It's a perfect eternal rest that we're made for. And that rest is waiting for us, and we're able to enter it. It's ours if we just listen to what is spoken to us. And if we're careful to continue to listen, we take hold of that rest. I crave perfect eternal rest. There's something in me that craves it. I desire to have it. So I want to heed the warning of Hebrews here. And this whole section has been geared towards us being there in that rest with our Creator, like we were made to be for all eternity. So if you crave that rest, let me encourage you to listen to this part of Hebrews as the author rounds off the first part of the letter. So basically he's saying from verse 1 in the reading Alex gave us that all those who hear and believe have rest in store for them. Have a look from verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So this passage starts with a therefore. He just spent three chapters explaining to his readers that even though God's spoken in lots of different ways in the past, remember he said he spoke through the angels and he spoke through Moses, even though God's spoken in lots of different ways at various times in the past, in these last days he's spoken to us by his son Jesus. Jesus is God's definitive word to humankind. And what has he spoken to us about Jesus? If you haven't been here for the last few weeks, might have been a good move because I'm going to sum it up in a few seconds here. He told us that Jesus, God the Son, took on human flesh. He entered into the human condition because we weren't doing humanity right. He took on human flesh and he endured God's anger towards human sin. He took on death and he defeated death and he rose to life and he took human flesh to a place it's never been before. He blazed a trail through death to life, to glory with the Father. Jesus took on human flesh to take humanity to its potential, to help it to realise what it was made for, to bring us to the Father's side, to bring us to glory. We call Jesus the great trailblazer, and the Greek word for trailblazer, of course, is archegos. Well done, four of you. That's great. That's really encouraging. He's the great trailblazer, the archegos. He's cut a way through for us to be where we're meant to be. He's given us access to rest. Therefore, verse 1, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let's be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. You know how you're about to go on a holiday and you're like, oh, that person's got a cold. I better not go near them because I don't want to get sick from my holiday. Be you careful, aren't you? Because you want to enter that rest. Well, the author says, you be careful not to, that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. This is our job. If we've heard the word of God, we keep listening to what he's spoken to us through Jesus. We're careful to keep believing it until the end. The author says in verse 2, we've had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. The they that he's talking about is the people we looked at last week. It's the people of God from the Old Testament, the people of Israel. They had the good news proclaimed to them. God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He promised to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that would be rest for them. But that promise, it was no good for them. Because verse 2 says it was no value of them because they didn't share the faith of those who obeyed. They didn't believe. So they had the promise of rest, a lesser rest than the one this passage is talking about for us. They had that promise held out to them, but it was no good to them because they didn't listen to it. They didn't believe. But the author says in verse 3, we who have believed enter that rest. So it's there for us if we listen, if we believe. The author stresses in verse 4 that the rest that he's talking about isn't the rest of the promised land, it's the rest par excellence. It's the rest God entered into on the seventh day when he rested from all his creating work that he'd been doing. It's that eternal rest we were made for, walking in the garden in the cool of the day with our Creator, enjoying perfect relationship with one another, enjoying perfect relationship with God. That's the rest that we were made for, and that's the rest that still remains. Verse 6 says, that rest, it's still there. That eternal rest is still there. So as we heard last week in chapter 3, the author repeats in verse 7, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't be like they were. Listen. The Exodus generation heard God's good news and didn't believe and didn't enter their rest. The author says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, believe. He says in verse 8 that Joshua gave them a rest. He didn't give anybody from the wilderness generation a rest because they all perished in the wilderness. But their children, Joshua, led them into the promised land. He gave them rest in a sense. He took them out of the desert, out of slavery, and he put them in a land flowing with milk and honey. But another rest remains, the author says. He's saying, don't be mistaken. This plot of land here in the Middle East, it's not it. This is not the rest that I'm talking about. I'm talking about something mega, something much, much bigger. Another day. A more perfect rest remains, verse 9 says, for the people of God. A day when verse 10 says, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. This is an eternal rest. The author's saying perfect eternal rest we were made for remains for us. If we don't harden our hearts to what we've heard from God through Jesus, we will enter this rest. So verse 11 says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. This is the author summing up his argument to this point in time. God has spoken to you. Keep listening. It's entirely worth it. There is a perfect rest. There is your potential ahead of you. The life you were made for. Eternal peace with your Father. Make every effort to enter it. We've got a week of leave later in the year. I'm hanging out for it. I'm not one of those people who prides themselves on their ability not to take holidays. I actually love taking leave when it's available. I love my job too, but I also love rest. I don't think I have to go explain that too much, but you get it. Anyway, the problem when you go on leave in Townsville in summer is it costs money. It costs money to go on leave. When you have five beautiful kids, as we do, it costs proportionately stacks of money. Even if we camp, which a lot of people have said, why don't you go camping? Simon's like, why don't you go camping? So it's like, I'm not deluded, right? It's still hot here. You can go to Mount Bartlefreyer and camp on the top picture tent, right? I would still need a reverse cycle air conditioner in my tent to go camping here at this time of year. Or I'd need a trailer to take it all up, you know? So camping for me is still an expensive. Five kids in the Tarago with our clothes, like we need a pot on there to get the tent in. It's a big deal. So I love rest, but there are a few impediments to that rest being good here on earth. I know that you will be uncomfortable camping at some stage on your holiday in summer. I know you will. This imperfect rest that we have now, it's good, right? It's still good. The weekly Sabbath that we practice as Christians, it's still good, right? It's good to have rest. It's kind of hardwired into us. We're made for rest. But it's just a shadow. It's just a taste. It's like a taste, you know, the waiter comes around, tastes the wine just to make sure it's okay, to make sure the whole bottle's good. These little bits and pieces of rest we get now, they're a foreshadowing of the greater, more perfect rest, the eternal rest that awaits us with our Father in heaven. The rest that we don't need to buy a trailer to have access to, because Jesus has blazed a trail through for us. This is what's on offer for us. This is what we're made for. Do you crave this rest? Can you feel in you that you were made for it? Surely you can, right? I know many of you here are really hard workers and you don't whinge about your work, but it's in us. We're designed to experience perfection. And the author, he knows that and he wants us to get there. And so he says, just be careful, guys. Make sure you keep on believing in this. What strategies do you have to keep hearing and believing in the good news about Jesus? You know, a lot of you have got strategies here to make it through to your annual leave, to make it through to the school holidays. What strategies do you have to make sure that you make it through to eternity with Christ, to keep holding on? I reckon coming to church is a good strategy, good move. But reading the word, prayer, getting to know some other Christians who can spur you on in the faith, people who keep pointing you to that rest so that when you're weary, they'll say, brother, sister, don't worry. There's something better than this in store for you. You weren't made for this. But what strategies do you have in place in your life? It's important that we keep listening to what God's spoken to us through Christ, because the rest of this passage really says that's going to be the key determiner as to whether or not we enter God's rest. Our attitude toward the spoken word, our attitude toward what God's told us through Jesus, will be the single determiner of whether or not we enter God's rest. And that's how this section, this little section in Hebrews kind of winds up. This is the conclusion of this section. Have a look from verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. When I first became a Christian, I loved that passage because it talked about how the Bible was living and active, like the Word of God's living and active. And I was like, that's really great. It's not just a dead history book like something you read in National Geographic or something. This is the living God speaking to us today. When we open up the Scriptures, God is speaking somehow by his Spirit into our lives. And so it was a really favourite passage of mine, but I never really understood the rest of the section down to the end of verse 13. This is a warning. Yeah, it's true, God's word is living and active, but this is the author saying, you better listen to it, because you will not escape God's judgment if you do not. This section in Hebrews started in chapter 1 with a proclamation that even though God's spoken to us in many ways at various times in the past, in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. We've had God speak to us more clearly than any other era in human history. So this section ends with a proclamation that how we listen to that word will be the basis upon which we are judged by God. God's spoken to us, and his word is alive and active. Just as he spoke to the Israelites in the wilderness, it's living today as he speaks to us. It's like a sword, verse 12 says. It cuts through us. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, regardless of how we respond to it, it achieves its purpose in us. It will be the determiner of where we stand before God on that last day. It'll be the basis upon which we do or don't enter that rest. There's no escape, verse 13 says. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Which is kind of a scary idea, isn't it? How will we stand before our Creator who sees everything laid bare before him if not washed clean in the blood of Christ? The author's saying, this is why you need to listen to this. There is no other escape. We'll have to answer that question on that last day when we stand before our Creator. Did you hear and believe my word? The word I spoke to you by my Son? Or did you harden your heart to it? It'd be great if you could say, it was the best thing I ever heard, to be honest. I needed that forgiveness. I needed that new life. How we answer that question will be the basis upon which we are or are not allowed to enter God's rest. How we respond to his word is key. That's why the authors stress time and time again in these four chapters, hold firmly to your original conviction. Pay more careful attention to what you've heard. Do not drift away. This is key for us. How we hear this word really matters. It's how we enter that rest that we're made for. Sometimes I'll tell my kids that I'll be picking them up at a particular place. There are a number of pick-up potential places for them in the complexity of our life. The basis upon whether or not they'll be picked up is whether or not they've listened to the instructions that we gave them. If they pretend to listen, if they're on their phone or if they're talking to their friends, they don't pay careful attention, they will miss their window. And they will not enter the beautiful rest of the air-conditioned Holden Captiva. They'll be left to scurry around from tree to tree in the wilderness of Townsville as they walk home. It's very simple, isn't it? If you know where to be picked up, it's like a massive act of grace. Yes, I'm there, I'm safe. But if you don't listen, we kind of go, that's fair enough. God's spoken to us very clearly by his Son. And if we listen and believe, we will enter his rest. It's that good. If we don't listen, if we haven't been paying attention, if we've been distracted, we will not enter. God will hold us to account for how we've responded to his word. So the obvious application for us from this is to pay more careful attention to what we've heard. To heed the warning. It's not really application to say, look forward to an eternity of perfect rest, because I think that's just a good and easy thing to do. Like every time we're tired and weary, our hearts cry out for the rest that we were made for. I think the application for us to take home is to go away from here and actually try really hard to continue to hold on to our faith in Christ, to not get distracted, to not drift. This is Christianity, holding on to Jesus, progressively harder and harder in our society. But that's the work of our faith, continuing to believe in the Son who's blazed a trail for us into the glorious rest we were made for. Well, let's pray and thank God for rest, but also ask him to help us to continue to hold firmly to the Lord Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you created us for perfect eternal rest. We're sorry that our sins broke in this world. We're sorry that our sins brought your curse upon this world. Father, but thank you through Christ. Thank you that if we listen to your Son, he's taken us back up to glory. He's given us access to that rest that remains. Help us, Lord, to continue to hold firmly to our faith in him, that we might be standing around your throne for all time, enjoying the perfect love of one another and enjoying your perfect love for us. Father, help us to hold on to our faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.